Now the mute light is the mute light. Is...
Yep, that's okay. It's stupid because the mute light is red when the mute is off, and when the mute. There we go. Is it back? There we go. When the mute light is off, that means it's muted.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't seem like it should be that way. I told him about that issue.
Okay.
All right.
So are we ready?
I think we're ready. Let's start doing a podcast. Ready? Cue intro music.
Water Cooler All Stars. Okay.
There you go. We have decided to name the program Water Cooler All Stars.
Though it might change.
I don't think it will. I think that's a great name.
So I think we're finally locking down on
the idea behind the Water Cooler All Stars is that there are people out there that can talk around the water cooler and come up with topics and subjects, interesting things to talk about.
That's not us.
No, we're the all-stars. We're the ones who come up with the most... we'll just do it. Let's just take it away. What do you have for us today, Eric? By the way, I'm Adam Cochran. With me is Eric Groves.
And welcome to the show. Let's start off with, it was my brother's birthday.
Okay.
And, I'm trying to figure out, what are the mandatory Facebook posts you have to make? I mean... At what level? I mean, is it on your wife's birthday? You have to say the "I love my wife," love happy my wife. Birthday,
yeah. Right?
You got to have that get out of jail free Facebook post, right?
That's right.
Okay, and then you got to post something on your anniversary because if you don't do that, that's as bad as forgetting the present or something.
Exactly. I think the one that goes without saying is maybe this is reserved more for Twitter, but once in a while you have to take a picture of the food that you're eating.
Okay.
At a restaurant, and upload that to your Facebook gallery. I think that's a necessity.
Yeah.
From time to time, you have to do that. Mostly
travel logs. You got to
travel logs. Yeah.
Yeah, and I really care about what time people got up.
Yeah, exactly. Or you have to tell everybody on Facebook good night before you go to bed.
Yes.
That is an absolute. You have to say good night. I'm going to bed. Have a good night, everybody.
Well, then
you have to think about 10 more posts.
Yeah, because when you go to bed, that's when people want to comment.
Right.
It's so interactive when they're asleep.
Exactly. That's right. Exactly. So you definitely have to do that. Movies.
Yeah.
I think that if you go see a movie, you have to tell everybody that you see it.
Yeah, and spoil it for everybody, too.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Great movie. I didn't like that he died in the end.
Yeah, Clash of the Titans. You already know what happens, but he carries Medusa's head and freezes the beast.
Yep.
Yeah, good stuff.
The boat sinks. Everyone dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
good,
a...
Good stuff. Well, I'm just, we got to get a... I think we need to establish a list here, because I'm having trouble. I'm missing mandatory deadlines for Facebook postings.
Yeah.
Causing myself all kinds of trouble.
It'll be nice once we have a website, because then we'll be able to post links to our website as we talk about it, But the one thing that I think is interesting is the photos. I think there's just as many necessary photos as there are necessary posts.
Okay.
Like you have to have the post with you and your wife together.
In the family picture.
In the family picture that nobody can really see because it's too tiny.
Where you're all wearing jeans and unbuttoned white shirts.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The shot that you take of yourself too close up to the camera.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one. The doppelganger.
The sexual predator webcam shot.
Which one is that?
When you're staring at your webcam.
Yeah, I don't have one of those, I guess. I do take the... You're right. Oh, I see what you're saying. I do take the webcam shot fairly often. Whenever I want a new picture, it's just the easiest way to get a picture of me. But...
Here's what we need.
Okay.
And we just need to put this on the website. Is a a Facebook scavenger hunt. Of all
Very
the things,
good.
Yeah, and it'd be like a contest for the listeners, is that if you can post all these things, and have like a smorgasbord of things that you have to put on your Facebook page in order to win.
Right.
And so you have to have a picture of what you're eating. You need to talk about, you got to post tag pictures of two family members. You have to do an obscure 1960s music video.
Right.
And once you get them all on your Facebook page, then you win.
I think that's terrific.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
That needs to be like our summer contest.
Did you see not to change the subject, but it's on subject. Did you see the April Fool's Day Facebook status generator website?
Yeah, I saw those. Some of those were great.
It would go through and it would take, the idea was that it would go through and take some of your thing, take your previous status and your friends and your organizations and all of these different things, and it would create status
fake ones.
Updates. based on those things, they were good. Yeah, no, you can find it. That was a great April Fool's Day joke.
Yeah, you know, my personal new Facebook favorite is anytime someone in their like 50s or 60s
yes.
gets a hold of Facebook.
Yes.
And then they also get a hold of YouTube.
Yeah.
And then they realize that you can go out and that you can actually go on YouTube and find videos.
Yeah.
And then they post them on Facebook like it's some every magical single mystery that they've located this video here.
Yeah, they go to the YouTube, I guess, probably share this video on Facebook, and then you get that little video inset link. And
and then they got to post like this 60s hippie reminder, like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, you know, midlife crisis.
Well, right, that's where you really get your, it's funny because you can see not just those YouTube people there, but you also have, I have a few Ron Paul friends yeah. that are on there that I get a Ron Paul, every time Ron Paul says something new, I get a video of Ron Paul saying whatever he said.
Ron Paul went to the bathroom. Ron that's Paul it. Attended a committee hearing.
Yeah. You've got
Ron Paul ate spaghetti. Ron
yeah, exactly. I also have my 420 people, my legalization of marijuana people that post stuff up constantly.
I have a cousin who is a medical marijuana provider.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so he's always posting how hemp is going to save the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's good. I needed to keep up to date with that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. There's a, I don't know if you ever listened to Neil Bortz.
Yeah.
He used to have the guy who called in to Neil Bortz, man, it's natural, man. It's the best stuff in the world. Doesn't do a thing to you, man. Anyway.
Let's run while we're on Facebook. Let's.
Yes.
I don't know if I've laughed so hard as when. I don't know if you've seen it. It's actually been out for a while, but someone put it up on my page last week. So here's how the story goes: is that it's a brother and sister. The sister tells on her brother and tells the parents that he's hiding a 12-pack in his closet. The parents go and find the 12-pack and ground him for 3 months.
Yeah, that's okay. A month per two beers, right?
Four beers,
yeah.
Yeah, 12 right. by 3, yeah, yeah. Okay.
You're the math guy.
Sort of. So the brother, 2 weeks into it, decides to go treasure hunting in his sister's closet and finds her hookup list.
Oh.
Yeah. Now,
you can go to Urban Dictionary and look up hookup if yeah. you're curious about what that means.
While we're going through this, because this is a family program, I don't know any kids who listen, but we'll assume they're out there. We'll change some of the words here to keep it. So her hookup list is not like these are the boys I like. These are the boys, and this is what I want to do with them.
Yes.
Very graphic.
This is how I want to hook up. Exactly. Okay.
So now, not only that, so the guy goes and posts this list on Facebook and then tags every single one of the guys who's listed on the list. So then it comes up to every single one of their names. Not only that, but she has the dates that she accomplished her hookups.
Wow.
Yeah, so you know that. So like on 9/13, she did this with this guy, and on this date, she did this with that guy.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so here's what I'm wondering. What's the... I mean, that is revenge served cold.
That is, yeah.
Okay.
You don't get much worse than that.
The list is hysterical. The comments after the list are unreal. You know, so, of course, you have all the, like, you know, you're crazy. You know, I can't believe you did this. Along with the, oh my gosh, you guys are the OMGs and whatnot. And then the sister comes on and she says, take this down now, you... What the bleep is wrong with you? And the kid goes, what are you going to tell mom and dad that I posted your hookup list on Facebook? Go ahead. Oh, it's an unreal story. I laughed so hard reading this. So
I think we're going to see more and more things like this. If you know, I think it's going to become commonplace. There's a friend that I have, and he works here in town, and he and his friend, I guess, air quotes, at work, are in a revenge thing right now.
Yeah.
They're getting after each other. And the other day he posted something like, this world would be better without Native Americans, onto his Facebook page. And it was interesting to see all of my friends and family quote and say, hey, I can't believe you put this on there. And it's getting to where they pretty much obviously know that.
We used to have a game when it was when I was working in college that when you would leave your computer logged in and you wouldn't lock it up,
yeah,
you'd have access to someone's account.
Right.
We used to go to like these, you know, alt dot hook up, you know, yeah. news groups and then put a post on there, like, you know, a hot young man looking for, you know,
anymore yeah,
for another lover. And then they would get like, you know, then they'd get 200 messages in their email.
Exactly.
You know,
saying, any more today.
Hey, I saw your post on the...
Right. On a serious note, though, any more today, that would be considered hacking and you'd be, you'd be looking at more
what's
trouble.
What's a good practical joke? No, we had one that here happened recently is that a guy that I know, my wife knows him better. His wife puts a message on her Facebook that says, "What do you do when you walk in and on your husband with another woman?" And so all of us immediately like, "Holy cow, he's cheating on his wife. Oh, he got man. Caught." The whole thing, it never happened. She was just like randomly speculating.
Oh my gosh.
And so everywhere we went, "Did you hear that?" I forget, but we won't say what the guy's name is.
Right.
Let's just say it's Frank. "Did you hear what Frank was cheating on his wife?"
Oh my gosh.
The thing had gotten around to everybody in our whole peer group, and everyone was listening to it, only to realize that it was all being made up.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, be careful with that Facebook there.
Oh, it's fun stuff, but holy crap! I'm a Facebook addict. I'm convinced myself.
Here's a Facebook status right here. I won't tell you who it is. It just is. I just want to report on this person. I'm in a good mood. If I keep telling myself that, I will eventually believe it. I think that's a mandatory post right there.
Yeah, you've got to, you know, that goes under motivational speaking.
And here's another, you have to do this post, the obscure depressed reference. I think that there's a lot of, you know what I mean? Like, "My life has never been so bad."
Yes.
Or, "I never thought it would happen, but it happened. That sucks."
And then just leave it hanging.
And then just leave it hanging. And all that is like a cry for attention. Yeah. So I usually...
Yeah, but as soon as you ignore that, that person's going to commit suicide.
Yeah, you're right.
And then you're going to really feel bad about yourself.
Exactly.
You're going to be like,
exactly.
"Oh, so, we should have listened to their begs and pleads
on Facebook."
Their
obscure cries for help on Facebook. Exactly.
I just thought they were moaning and groaning.
Oh, jeez.
What do you have? Okay, I burned through a few here. What do we got?
Well, let's see. My stuff's more newsy. I think we did some good stuff there as far as introducing some water cooler conversation. I've got a couple news items. Should we start with hard news or start with soft news and work up to the hard news?
Let's go. Let's just start with a bang. Hard news.
Start with the hard news.
Okay.
This is as hard as the news gets here. Pardon my allergies.
Yeah, Adam's drugged today.
Yeah, I'm on cold medicine because I have allergies, and while it wakes me up, I am still...
He's on cold medicine, not because he has a cold, but because he likes the medicine.
not really. I think it's pretty obvious. Oh, geez. Let's see. A cleric in Beirut, a senior Iranian cleric, says women who wear immodest clothing, and we know what that means in Beirut. It means you can see their ankles or their neck or something.
Yeah.
Women who wear immodest clothing behave behave promiscuously are to blame for earthquakes.
How promiscuous do you need to be in order to cause earthquakes?
I think it just says if you're wearing modest clothing.
I mean, is there like a Richter scale to promiscuity
maybe
proportion there? Like, more. You know, first base is a, you know, like a 4.5.
You know, I think it'd probably be more
straight out
that,
doing
yeah.
the nasty. That's like San Francisco earthquake there, you know? So
yes.
I want to know. I mean, is the level of the earthquake, you know, judged by how
you know, that's a really good question. It does not give me... I would like to see a chart on that, an infographic about where the earthquakes are happening, because we've had a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
And when you really think about it, I mean, there's... What was the most recent big earthquake? That was Haiti, right? No, Haiti
no,
was...
Chile.
Chile was a big one. I'm not that behind on my current events. Chile, when I think of Chile, I don't think of promiscuity. And yet Vegas has been nice and solid. There hasn't really been anything happening
in
Vegas.
Yeah, it's not like they're near the San Andreas Fault or anything.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm still not quite sure. Even the earthquake we had in Baja wasn't even really felt in Vegas. So I'm about to think that this cleric may not know what he's talking about, but... Who knows?
Yeah. So I mean, does it cause volcanoes? Because we got a big one going on in Iceland right now.
Oh yeah,
and
everyone
I mean,
knows what
is it. I mean, is Is the promiscuity to earthquake relationship apply to other calamities?
It's very possible. Or maybe it's another sin besides promiscuity.
Yeah.
Maybe it's gambling. Maybe there's too much gambling in Iceland.
Gluttony.
Yeah,
let's go through the seven deadly sins.
Vanity.
We'll go through the seven deadly sins and then figure out what natural disaster is linked to
nothing
each
like
of
the vanity of the Icelandic people.
Yeah, you know, and therefore volcanoes.
That's it. Gluttony. You know, gluttony of the.
You know, but I'm willing to bet that you know what we.
As he digs for his iPhone, you got it.
Yeah. Let me turn down the volume a little bit. Yeah, no, but the. Yeah, go on.
I am all out of humor right now. Okay, well, this one is near and dear to our hearts because this one happened right here in Colorado.
Give away our location.
Was that bad?
They're going to know where our bunker's at.
No, it's, well, when I say right here in Colorado.
Colorado's a big state, people.
It is a big state.
Don't try to come find us.
There's cities called Colorado. Maybe outside the United. We'd have to Google map that.
We are
not in Colorado.
Isn't that one of those polygamous cities in Utah? It's called Colorado City.
Colorado City could be.
Yeah,
yeah. That's so. Maybe that is where we are.
You don't know who we are, people.
You have no idea. You can't look us up. Anyway, in Colorado, Denver, Colorado, where we are not in Denver, Colorado. We can say that a man is missing a new iPad. Basically, he went to the mall to pick up an iPad, not even for himself. He was buying it as either a prize or a gift or something for work. And as he's walking out of the Cherry Creek Mall, which is used to be the uppity mall in Denver, I think it still is. It's aging, but it still is. Yeah, it's still because of Cherry Creek.
It's got the Nordstrom's and the Saks Fifth Avenue and all those kind of stores. Yeah,
it is one of the nicer malls in Denver. As he's walking, he decided to take the stairs to the parking garage, which I don't know why you'd do that, but that's what he's doing. And somebody
exercise, health.
It's rough. As he's doing that, he's being followed, and unknowingly he's being followed by some guys. The guys appear and get him while he's on the stairs, and they rip the bag out of his hand, the Apple bag. Out of his hand, and in doing so, the string or the handle from the Apple bag wraps around his pinky and pulls all of the tissue and skin and everything off of his pinky, so he just has a little bone sticking out of his out of his hand. And anyway, they call the ambulance, I guess. I don't know if that's an ambulance situation or if they just drove him, who knows. But he got to the hospital, and they had to amputate the bone off the end of his up there, and he doesn't have a pinky now.
So don't buy an iPad, you might lose your hand.
Well, I had to wonder exactly at Cherry Creek, especially. I had to wonder as I was reading this, what Apple's going to do about it, whether they're going to give him a free iPad for his troubles.
Yeah,
I bet they don't.
I bet
they give him a $15 iTunes.
I think they're going to start developing the iFinger now.
They could. Well, you know what? You really don't need your pinky when you're using the iPad anyway.
I mean, really? How much do you use your pinky?
I mean, only when I hit the O and the P and the enter.
You can kind of nub it, you know? I mean, it's not that hard.
You're right. You could do it. You could build a prosthetic pretty easily.
It depends what pinky here. I mean, A is a pretty important pinky, but, you know, the whole colon semicolon key.
Nobody really uses that pinky anyway. They usually reach up and hit it with their index finger or something, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, backspace, kind of important, but again, you can use another finger.
Did they ever find the guys who did this?
They didn't. At least not yet. Yep. But I'm pretty sure that if you're on eBay and you're looking at iPads, if you see a picture of an iPad with blood all over the box, then
You might get a pinky with it.
You just want to make sure. It'd just be the skin of the pinky, like a fruit roll-up or something.
Yeah, I wonder if they got a fingernail with it, too.
I don't know. But
that might be worthwhile.
Anyway, be careful with buying an iPad. Make sure there's no bad guys around you.
No, actually, I heard a funny story. A buddy of mine, he's Vietnamese, and he went back to Vietnam, and one of his mom's friends was... she'd gone to the U.S. and married a wealthy man, and she had this big old diamond ring, and she's walking through Vietnam, you know, trying to show it off, trying to show all the people how rich she was and how well she had it. So she's walking down the street, and a guy comes by on a moped with a machete and just hacks her hand off right there in the middle of the street of Vietnam. Says, you know, I guess there's one way to get your ring. He just macheted her hand off right in the middle of the street.
Wow.
So, yeah, don't wear diamond rings in Vietnam.
Yeah. I'll try to remember that.
That's the moral of the story.
Next time I go to Vietnam, I'll try to. Like, wow.
Unreal, but, you know. So, you know, diamond rings equal wrist. iPads are only worth a pinky.
Wow. Have you ever seen any of those documentaries on Mount Everest? I forget what the name of the one was made for IMAX, and then there's also the book, the Into Thin Air or whatever.
There was like a blind guy, and there's different people who've all the inspirational climbs.
Exactly. Well, they had that one expedition a while back where they filmed it in IMAX. And okay. I don't know if you've seen that one, but
no, I haven't.
And the IMAX one, it was really good. It's very intense. And then they made a documentary of it. And that's also the same group that went up that they wrote the book Into Thin Air about all the people that died. But there's this one scene, if you haven't seen it, where they go through and they show you this area called the Death Zone. And it's all these dead bodies laying around from all the people who, and oxygen tanks and everything. It's all these people basically who just couldn't make it any further up the mountain. And nothing was left of them to come down the mountain. So they either left there to die or they die along the way. And they just leave these bodies. And there's, I forget how many of them. I don't have the exact number here. But in this area, this death zone, the Sherpas are getting kind of tired of all the body litter that's around there. It's very pretty. I mean, there's, because you have all these colored raincoat, you know, parkas and coats and everything. You make them in bright colors now, so it's actually kind of pretty to see all these spots where all these dead bodies are laying around.
Look at all the cute dead bodies.
Exactly. It's beautiful.
It's like a kaleidoscope.
But for some reason, they don't feel that it's actually that decorative, and they want to kind of clean up the dead zone a little bit.
So is that like Adopt a Mountain program?
It is kind of.
There's a sign. We'd like to thank the Sherpas for adopting this mountain.
Yeah, that's it. So these 20 Nepali climbers are going to Mount Everest, and these Sherpas, they're going up to clean up the death zone. I'm sorry,
so it's the dead zone. Orange jackets, orange trash bags.
You can just see. I don't know. They must not have an inmate program there.
Well, they're going to send a helicopter by, so put all your trash in the orange bag and leave it on the side.
Exactly. I always think they should just leave it there as a deterrent to keep people from climbing up any further. But I was looking here to see, because I did see one story that mentioned how many climbers there were that had died there. But I don't see it here.
Well, 4,000 anyway. People have climbed the mountain.
Right. But there's a number of how many have died. It's in the hundreds. But there is a spot when it's, you know, on a warm day when the snow's there and you can see just dead bodies and oxygen tanks all over the place, tents, things like that. People just don't carry them down because they can't afford to carry an extra person down with them because they're so thin oxygen. So I just thought that was an interesting story and a way to help the environment. But at the same time, like I said, the coats are pretty. Well, let's see.
Did you see the quote at the... No. I love user comments. This is, America should send over their prisoners and have them clean the mountain up. If they survive, then they'll have a reduced sentence.
So you aren't the first person.
If they die, then well.
Well, then we have lots of orange dots all over the landscape, too. Good point. Oh, let's see. I don't have many more things here. Did you have anything? I have two small things I could talk about.
I have a political slash not really political
story.
Let's hear it. Have you heard about Bart Stupak resigning? Have you heard about this? Here's who Bart Stupak is: a Michigan. I think he represents that top piece of Michigan, like above the mitt. I think that's where he's from. It's North Michigan, and he's a Democrat in this Republican district, but he's known as being very pro-life. Okay. And so during the healthcare bill, he was the guy who held up the legislation because he was, you know, because it. Thought it funded abortion and
right.
whatnot.
I remember. Okay. That's
and remember so that. All you heard about was the Stupak Amendment and Stupak this, Stupak that. Right. Well, you know, so what he's done is he's committed, you know, it's like political Harry Caray here because you've he held up the legislation, so he ticked off all the Democrats and was like this Republican hero. And then in the end, he ended up siding with the Democrats. So now the Democrats think he's a traitor for holding up the thing in the first place. The Republicans hate him because he's a sellout now.
Right.
They sold that back to his party. And so now he's, you know, he's host. And there's no way he's going to get reelected.
Right.
You know, because his own party hates him. The other party hates him. Everyone hates him. So he decides he's going to retire, and he what he says is, I'm going to retire because I want to spend more time with my family. Which sounds great and all, but I am getting so sick of the "I want to spend more time,
With my family." I agree.
Excuse. I mean, can we come up with something better for these people to use?
Yeah.
I mean, what about if you actually want to spend more time with your family? Nobody's going to believe
it. Nobody's
going to
believe it. You're right. Absolutely.
You know, actually, there was the number one ranked female golfer in the country. I don't know if you heard this. I just saw it on ESPN last night. She's retiring. Apparently no scandal. She's at the top of her game because she wants to have a family.
Right.
I actually believe her.
Yeah, I do too.
You know,
yeah.
It has nothing to do with, you know, I mean, apparently there's not a steroid scandal or something going on there. Maybe there is. I don't know. But
but it does make you suspicious. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm getting...
She actually does want to start a family. She wants to retire. She She's at the top of her game. She can probably still get a few endorsements and things like that without...
You know, without or can we just come up with the, like, code 20 here that says that, you know, I don't want to give you a reason. You can all speculate. Yeah. That,
I'm retiring the fifth. I'll take the fifth.
Yeah. You know, because the spend time with your family thing, it's just getting old.
Right.
You know?
Right. Unless you're actually spending time with your family. I mean, it makes people suspicious for...
How about a good reason that really makes us wonder, like, I'm retiring or I'm stepping down because I want to spend more time on a tractor.
Oh, that is good.
I mean, because then you would be like, oh, okay.
Oh, tractor, yeah, of course. I want to get into farming.
Who doesn't want to drive a tractor?
Right. I've always wanted to I really like those air-conditioned John Deere's, and I thought I might grow some corn.
Congress is great, but I want to be on a tractor.
That's it, yeah.
I mean, you're going to believe that guy.
Exactly. You know, or I've always wanted to own a candy store.
So what do you think? What are some good ones here?
I mean, yeah, I think that entering, pick a business. Pick a very noble business, like I said. I want to open a restaurant.
Noble business. Oil and gas.
Oil and gas, yeah. Don't say I want to start an oil and gas business. I don't say I want to practice law. You know, you have to get into the...
People.
Well, I'm just saying, for a politician, that's not a good direction to go. You want to put something a little bit more folksy.
I want to open an adoption clinic.
There you go. That's it. I want to help orphans. I think, you know, there's all kinds of good stuff.
Can't do that in Congress.
No.
You know, so
That's true. I just can't do enough good for the country, so I'm going to open a gas station.
Yeah.
Well, it's just oil and gas again, so we better be careful there. But, you know, I agree with you. I think we need to find a better retirement excuse so that those people who do actually want to be with their families won't be suspected as being involved in some.
So this is the point that if we had a website,
right,
we'd have a thing up there where you could give us your best.
Yes, and it's coming.
It's coming
in the next week or two.
Yeah,
we'll have it up.
We have great ideas, people.
Our ideas are good. Too bad. We should just have a podcast about our ideas that aren't implemented.
Yes, it's called the lack of our execution.com.
Let's see. I think I'll finish with one of these other stories, but I wanted to very quickly cover this. It's in the news. I don't know why it's in the news, but I just had to bring it up because this is a water cooler thing. This is something that you're going to be standing around the water cooler, and a topic is going to come up about teenagers or about video games or who knows what. And I just wanted to tell you that this story is fantastic. That there is this is in Daytona, Florida. There was a 19-year-old boy who was playing video games too much. 19, still living at home, and he's 19, playing video games too much. So that tells you a little bit about him. This will tell you a little
bit
more.
He's average.
Yeah, he's average. His mom goes in and tells him that it's time for dinner, which he's 19. I would say let him get his own dinner, but that's all right. She says it's time for dinner. He doesn't want to go to dinner. And they really spell this whole story out. They tell you, I don't want to go to dinner, Mom. But I'm going to spare you the details. Doesn't want to go to dinner. So his mom walks in and turns off the Xbox. It doesn't say whether it's an Xbox 360, so I don't know. We're just going to have to see whether he's playing online.
We don't know how severe the mother's.
We don't know what game it was. So it's hard to tell. I mean, he could have been really ranking up the score there somewhere or getting some of those experience points. But so we can kind of see things from his point of view in a way. But if he went and turned off, his mom goes and turns off the Xbox and he gets mad and he pushes her, which is bad. But then he goes downstairs. His mom's making tacos. He goes downstairs, makes a taco, and then throws the taco at his mother. And then, this is the best part, he goes to jail. No bail, posted, you know, no, there's a, yeah, goes to jail with no bail.
Being held without bail.
Being held without bail.
I mean, this guy's a danger. Yeah, to, this guy's danger. A threat to the community.
That's right. The taco, whatever you'd want to call that, I don't know, but... Anyway,
the taco chucker.
Taco chucker. There's got to be some rule in Daytona, Florida, that makes it illegal to do that. So, anyway, but he is.
Is that an aggravator? You know,
it is an aggravator. Yeah,
assault with a deadly food.
Yeah, with taco concealed. Well, he wasn't concealed. He was out in the open there.
So.
Yeah, it was. So he's okay there. Let's
see. Taco assault.
Along those same lines, I just got to tell you this story. This is another water cooler weird story. This is in Dayton, Ohio, in Middleton, Ohio, that there was a 49-year-old woman that she was arrested because she nearly struck an officer with her inhaler as she threw it. Here's the details of the story, though. There's a domestic disturbance call. The police show up. There they find a woman and her husband arguing. In this house, among the argument, the man is bleeding from his ear. Okay, that's part of it. Bleeding from his ear. Now, also, there were, let me get the numbers right, 7 chihuahuas and 10 caged birds at the residence. One of the parrots, the woman is laying down on the ground, and there's a parrot on her head pecking at her away, and she can't get up because the parrot is on her. She's still arguing with her husband. She picks up the inhaler and throws it at her husband, misses her husband, and almost hits the officer. You've heard it before.
Yeah, I mean, that happens every day in my house.
Exactly. So they, the man who was bleeding from his ear, her husband, didn't give a straight story, gave three different stories as to why he was bleeding from his ear. She was taken to prison, arrested for disorder, not prison, I keep saying prison, jail, for disorderly conduct. She was arrested. The police report said that she was increasingly uncooperative and threatened to kill herself. I just wonder what she posted on Facebook that night. Having a bad day.
So many people are frustrating me this week.
Exactly. Why can't people just be nice?
Maybe she could use the motive. If I act like I'm in a good mood, I'll be in a good mood.
That's it. Exactly.
Even though I have a parrot nicking at my head and I'm assaulting police officers and making my husband bleed.
I just thought that was it. I mean, it has a little bit of everything in that story, and I think it could become a Lifetime special, really, a Lifetime movie.
You know what those stories do?
What's that?
Make you feel good about your life.
Yeah, they really do. I can't remember the last time any of those things happened.
I find that story heartwarming.
Yeah, I have two dogs, two cats, and I do have a parrot, but nothing like that has ever happened to me. I even have a son who has an inhaler.
Yeah.
We could do a filmed reenactment of that story now that I think about it.
Yeah, that...
Anyway, we'll save that for when we have a website. Do you have anything else on your list?
No, I don't.
Okay. Real quick, I thought I'd close with this. This was Reuters.
This is the big finale.
This is it. Reuters gave us, and I'm just going to pass this along. We're not going to read the whole story. I'm just going to tell you. Reuters gave us the top 10 obscure halls of fame. So these are halls of fame that you didn't know existed. We know about the Baseball Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, all of those. There's also a Roller Derby Hall of Fame in Brooklyn, New York. There's a Buckaroo Hall of Fame in Winnemucca, Nevada. There's a Croquet Hall of Fame in West Palm Beach, Florida. There's an insurance Hall of Fame in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Wait, there's more. There's an Agricultural Hall of Fame in Bonner Springs, Kansas. There's a Freshwater Fish Hall of Fame in Hayward, Wisconsin. There's a Paper Hall of Fame in Appleton, Wisconsin, which has got to be fantastic. I got to take my kids to that one.
That's great. The last one. I've actually been to that one.
And then there's the Energizer Keep Going Hall of Fame for the Energizer World Headquarters in St. Louis, Missouri.
Of stick-to-itiveness.
It's it. International Bowling Museum and Hall of Fame in Arlington, Texas. And what was the 10th one?
The National Mining Hall of Fame.
In Leadville.
I went to that when I was about 10 or 11 years old. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I don't think I've been there. That's interesting. But
the only reason I remember is because I got this gigantic Coors mug that my grandpa had. You know, it was that exciting that he had to down a big old fat one.
Wow.
So my grandfather downed a big one and gave me the mug when he was
very
done.
Cool. Wow.
So I still have this big, you know.
So if you're out there looking for somewhere to go on your family vacation, I recommend touring the Halls of Fame. get rent an RV, get the whole family together, and just make that just tour.
See that other people are more successful in their lives than you are.
Make sure you take lots of photos, post them on Facebook. This is the pictures we took from the Croquet Hall of Fame as we traveled through.
That's got to be on our Facebook list.
We will.
It's that you have to have a picture of an obscure Hall of Fame.
Obscure Hall of Fame, that's right, as you're traveling through. So
we got to make it hard enough that you can't do it all in one day.
I mean, oh, yeah. You've got absolutely. Actually... So you, the Croquet Hall of Fame, West Palm Beach, Florida. And, you know, when you think about all the great players in croquet, I just can't even...
I mean, they're like rock stars.
I hope they're all in there. I hope they actually have signed croquet mallets.
We should find some croquet player like Granny Smith or something and go protest out. Let Granny in.
I think I still have a rookie card from... Nah, I don't know. But anyway, so I thought I'd close with that.
Just I wonder how many people go to these Halls of Fame.
I don't know. Well, you know, there's got to be people looking for something to do. I imagine that they sell a season... passes like they do for Disneyland. If you live within the area, you can probably go to the Croquet Hall of Fame all you want. Become a member of the Croquet Hall of Fame for only $40 for the year. Take your family.
Why would you want to go back a second time?
Are you kidding? It's croquet, man.
Okay.
All right.
I wonder if they have a croquet course out back, you know?
You can only hope.
The world's most challenging croquet.
Yeah, I don't know.
As Calvin and Hobbs said, the best part about croquet is the tendency to misuse the equipment. You got this big old hammer.
That's right. And really hard balls and these metal forks. There's all kinds of weapons and games you can play with croquet. And you know what? There's nobody under 40 who knows how to play croquet, I bet.
I know, but...
Something about becoming 40 where you learn...
I just know the one where you, like, put your foot on the ball and you hit it and you, like, knock the other guy out of the way. That's the only... I don't even know the rule to it.
It's like shuffleboard with tunnels, kind of. I don't know. In a ball, in a mallet.
Yeah.
Which, if you put a mallet in shuffleboard, that could be kind of fun, too.
That's the great part about croquet. Everyone's tried it and no one knows how to do it.
No, I agree. Everybody's bought one of the croquet sets or had a croquet set. They remember having one.
I think that because that means you've hit middle class.
Exactly.
It's when you got a yard and a croquet set.
It's like, what the heck is the other side of the checkerboard for? You know, when you get checkers?
Yeah.
There's this other side of the checkerboard with all these arrows, you know, triangles on it. Oh, backgammon.
Yeah.
Nobody knows how to play that.
I do.
John Locke.
Yeah.
But that's it. Do you know how to play backgammon?
I do.
I've never played it.
Yeah.
Never played it.
Yeah. Don't leave one piece on
it. It's like the baseball side of the dartboard, too. Yeah. You know, you turn the dartboard around, there's the baseball side, and I know how to play baseball. I could probably make it up pretty easily, but... I don't know why they put that on there. Why don't they put a picture of somebody's face up there instead and throw that at somebody, Hitler, or somebody who everybody hates? I think that would be a much better selling board. It's okay to say that, you know, you want to...
Yeah, we could... Man, we get so good ideas to make money.
Yeah.
How about you have, like, the political dartboard?
Yeah, you certainly
could. You got a regular dartboard on that side, and then you put, like, on one, you have, like, a George Bush on it, or you have, like, you a Barack Obama.
Yeah,
and then based on your party, you have a dartboard.
Yeah. You don't think there'd be any problems there with, what's the word for it, effigy or anything like that? We wouldn't, any effigy laws that we'd get in trouble for?
Oh, but do we care about that?
not since we're not actually going to do it, I guess. It doesn't matter. All right.
We'll probably have a Secret Service beating down our door. Threatening. You missed our biggest story.
Did I? Which story was it?
The Apple iPhone.
Oh, 4. Shoot! I didn't even. I thought that was the big finale. I was gonna. You're right. I was gonna cover that.
I apologize. Okay. We were at the penultimate finale.
This is the penultimate, right?
No, that was the penultimate. We're at the finale.
Now we're at the actual finale. Penultimate. I've never used the word penultimate
before. Yeah, it means like the next to last.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the next to last finale.
The penultimate finale. This is like the fireworks that you think that are the end fireworks, but they're really not the end fireworks.
And you're like, oh, it's over, and all of a sudden, doo, 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 doo. Yeah, and then you're like, oh, here's the real finale. Good.
Here goes our grand finale. But if you head over to Gizmodo, I'm just going to tell you to go to gizmodo.com and read this story. It is a fantastic story. There's two stories in tech journalism that I really like. One of them was the story of... that happened last year of the Pirate Bay, the whole game with the Pirate Bay was playing in their legal battles. I hope they make a movie of it someday because it was crazy. Anyway, Gizmodo now has this story. And it was great to watch it unfold this week. Basically, here's what happened. Somebody, some people were in a bar hanging around with a guy. This was in, where are we at? California? I forget. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, they're in a bar and this guy leaves his iPhone behind on the bar stool or on the bar. And he leaves. They look for him. They can't find him. So he takes this iPhone and he's going to go through it. Then he says, well, the next day I'll go through and try to find out who's phone this is. And then the next day he gets up, gets ready to call people or whatever, notices that the that the iPhone has been remotely erased, which you can do with one of the iPhone services, the mobile me. The guy who picked up the iPhone begins to look at it, notices that it has this border put around it to make it look like a regular iPhone 3G, but when he pops the border off, he notices that it's a totally different design and it's not like an actual iPhone. And so he puts a few pictures of it up on the internet and says, you know, I think I have this new iPhone. Well, Gizmodo goes and buys that iPhone prototype for $5,000. And Gizmodo puts pictures of it all over the internet. You know, they take a picture of the internals. They take a picture of the sides and how they know that it's an Apple iPhone. And Apple has this dilemma where they don't know whether to come out and say that's our iPhone or whether to let Gizmodo continue to post pictures of it and everything. So they're kind of stuck. So they call up the guy, they call up Gizmodo and they say, you have our phone. And they say, yes, we do. And we're happy to return it. Just send us a letter that says, give us back your phone because we want it in writing so that you'll verify that this is actually the 4G or the fourth generation iPhone. And so they get this letter back and they post the letter up and Gizmodo just played with it galore. And, you know, they made their $5,000 back easy in advertising last week, but it was just really exciting. And then the one other part that's kind of controversial is that they posted pictures of the guy who left the iPhone in the bar. And then they posted a link to his Flickr account and it just has tons of pictures of booze all over that he's taken in bars. So it's just kind of interesting there.
That's the reason the iPhone was left behind in the first place.
But it's a great story. So if you haven't read it, it is a really cool story at Gizmodo, and it's kind of neat to see, you know, new journalism kind of doing a whole new thing with their research and how they found the story out and everything. And there's, like I said, it's a little controversial, but it was a really, really exciting thing this week.
Okay. So do you want to do the serious side or the funny side?
It doesn't matter. Go for it.
Okay. The funny side is what other prototypes does Apple have out there that we don't know about?
Yeah.
And I heard, is there like an iCar that Apple's designed that's like disguised as a real car?
It's a Chevelle.
And then you have some Apple guy driving around.
It's very possible.
Touchscreen utility all over it.
I want to know what's
going on. And you have no idea. You step inside and, you know, oh, wow, I'm sitting in an iCar.
Wow, I don't have a steering wheel. I don't have any buttons. I don't have...
That steering wheel's fake. It doesn't actually run the car.
The iCar basically wouldn't have anything. It would just be a sleek interface inside and out, and everything would be molded on.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have any buttons. I don't know how it would work. You control it by swiping the dashboard right and
do
left.
Do they have the Apple iWife? You know, yeah. User-friendly, doesn't crash.
There you go. No,
positive, user-friendly interface.
I think there's... I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think Apple's become a little bit
sleek,
ridiculous.
Slim design.
Exactly. Yeah, I think there's...
You know, and then on the more serious side here, we talk about the new journalism.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm one because I like to read hard news.
Sure.
And I think the loss of the newspapers is a tragedy.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Because the first thing is that the bloggers are not, you know, you don't realize how much they vulture the real
right.
news.
Right.
You know, and they're saying that these bloggers are going to replace news, and that we're going to have the bloggers instead. But what's happening is that, I mean, they're feeding off of the existing news, and when that goes away, the bloggers can't fill that gap.
Bloggers won't have anything.
You know, and you know they're poachers is all they are, and as such, you know, at some point we're going to realize that we don't have any good hard news anymore.
Yeah,
you know, so while we have stuff like this with the Gizmodo things, and we're getting information out and how we can disperse that information and move it, that's great. At the same time, you know, we're seeing, you know, a growth in one area and a demise of another.
Right.
And I think it's going to be an interesting play out here.
I agree with you. And I'll see the other thing, too, because I teach a lot of this stuff. I teach journalism classes. And I think it's just kind of hard. I think every journalist needs to feel like they're being fact-checked a little bit more than they ever have been. But I wonder if the newspapers will transition to online and still be able to do just as good a job. I just don't know. But anyway, it's an interesting thing to think about, an interesting thing to watch. But I thought it was a great example of that this week, because this Gizmodo story, I think, is about, when it comes to technology news, it's written about as well as you'd find in a newspaper. I mean, it really is put together as far as how it's compiled. But
you know what the best part is that, did you see that, hey, we got a phone here, what are we going to do? Let's take it apart.
Yeah.
And then not only did they take pictures outside, they disassembled the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then they tell you, oh, the battery is 16% larger than the other. How do you come up with that?
Yeah.
You know, so, well, we measured the battery size, and the transistors are of 131% efficacy of the prior.
Exactly.
What?
Well,
you know, so
there you go.
Yeah, you know, you find something at a bar, take it apart.
Take it apart. Make sure, see what it is. Yeah, and I mean, you know, there's a ton of sites like that that just dismantle anything new. I mean, the day the iPad came out, they dismantled it and took pictures of it.
The only reason this story works, too, is because of the Apple Rumor site.
Yeah.
I don't know if you follow Apple Rumors. You're kind of a Mac guy. I've always been a Mac guy. And Apple Rumors is it's like a whole sub-community.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a website out there. It's one of my favorite websites. It's called Crazy Apple Rumors.
Uh-huh.
And it's like made up Apple Rumors.
Yeah.
Just on a play of the – there's other websites.
Because there's like Mac Rumors. Mac Rumors is probably the biggest site.
Mac Rumors. And you used to have Think Secret. Uh-huh. And you had all these different websites that were all specialized in just whatever rumored thing that Mac has. And so, there's a new iMac, you know. And I don't know how many times that they – do this, they put pictures up of this new prototype that never comes about.
Exactly.
You know? And so of the Mac Rumors, what happens, you get one story right, and then you run a website on it for like the next, you know, 3 years because you got one rumor correct,
right,
that you actually figured out. You know, and so that's why Gizmodo is playing with this. They actually got a nobody believes this when they first see it. I mean, we've heard so many stories of, you know, hey, I got pictures of the brand new iPod.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, they actually get Apple to come in and say, oh, that is actually a
good... Yeah, give it back. Yeah, I would not want to be the guy who lost the phone. I would not want to be anyone who works within 10 feet of Steve Jobs. Apple really does have their own little police force that goes after these guys who are leaking stuff to the press. And police force I use loosely, but they are, you know, a group of people who are there just for that. It's a way to lose your job instantly by leaking stuff like that. They even leak fakes out there to see if people will, so they can tell who's leaking by, you know, giving fake devices out there to the people. So,
well, you know, it makes me, you know, do this. You know, what does your job report say? You know, quarterly evaluation, got drunk, lost a prototype.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I wouldn't want to be, like I said, I wouldn't want to be that guy. And, but I do think that,
you know, in a way, though, I mean, this is publicity that you, I mean, it would be almost impossible to buy this. I mean, it's grassroots, and it intrigues everyone's interest. And
it is. I mean, the story itself is fantastic. But think ahead in June when Steve Jobs announces the new iPhone. I wonder if he's going to have somebody else come out on stage and do it, because he doesn't really have anything to reveal. I mean, here, you've seen this before.
Hey,
we'll
have Gizmodo present it first.
Yeah, you've seen this, but you've never seen it turned on. I mean, that's what they're going to have to do with it. It is really a, you know, Apple who makes their their whole promotion is their buzz campaign, their secrets, and their. They're one more thing. Oh, here's a surprise for you.
No, and they are generally very good at keeping word down. I mean, they have like these big old live teleconferences and web conferences during these get-togethers, because no one really knows what Apple's going to reveal.
Right.
At any,
you're not even allowed to take your laptop into
like Worldwide Developer Conference.
Into the Apple things. I mean, they don't let you use a laptop. They don't let you. You know, I think they do cell phone cams or something like that they'll let you do, but they want to control that buzz as much as they possibly can.
Well, you know, and I don't know how true it is. You know, one of the things I've heard is that early on, a lot of the ideas that came in the first Macs was actually stuff that Steve Jobs stole from touring a Xerox facility.
Yeah, yeah. For yeah. Well, when he worked, they worked for Xerox. I think they contracted out with Xerox or something. I hate to tell this because there's so many geeks out there that listen to this, like, you have this all wrong. But it did originally come from Xerox. It's Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. Where it kind of all came together with projects they worked on for Xerox.
Early Ethernet. They had developed, essentially a icon-based GUI interface, and Xerox had had all these things, and apparently brilliant in the development area, horrible in the marketing category. Yeah. And Steve Jobs looks at some of them and says, Ethernet, that's worthless, But then looks at the other one and says, oh, that GUI interface, that looks pretty good,
right?
And so, he had kind of built his name off of beginning to steal other people's technology. So, thus the secretness of Apple. That name, someone's going to steal our new idea. So,
Absolutely.
So, anyway, hey, I hope you like the show.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. If you've made it this far, congratulations.
Leave a comment on our website. If you listen to the show, leave a comment. Tell us what you think. You can follow us. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at talkingdigital.org or talkingdigital. Do you have anything on Twitter you want to share? No.
Twitter page is horrible.
Doesn't do anything with Twitter. Okay, I post them on Twitter, but nothing interesting. No. But you'll find us there if you want to follow what we're doing. And also, we'll have another website up and coming, but right now this will be posted on talkingdigital.org.
Yeah, and our Facebook posting contest.
Yes.
That will definitely go by this summer.
We will do it.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
So, okay.
Hey, thanks so much. Have a great week, guys.
The end.
Talking.